One of them is that none of our squad mates knows that Bones is Aaron's twin. At first, I wasn't sure how they couldn't tell, but the two of them don't act like brothers while on duty, and the difference in the shade of blue in their eyes makes them look unrelated. Add in Bradshaw's scars and his mask, and no one suspects a thing.
What did you do to get into the dark ops?
Ian breaks the silence. I glance up at him briefly before continuing to put equipment into my backpack. Everyone does something unspeakable to get noticed by the underground. How does anyone get in? I retort. He knows as well as I do. Only bad people get recruited.
Tell me what you did,
he says firmly, as if this is an interrogation and I'm in the hot seat. I stand with my gear and rifle strapped to my back. Ian studies my expression with grim eyes. It's no use. He won't get anything from it. It doesn't hurt to tell him, and I know he'll relay anything he learns about me to the others. They should know, too. I killed a few bad people. Horrifically. Borderline animalistically. I'm useless in the real world. His eyes widen, and he cackles.
Useless? I wouldn't exactly say that.
I think that might be an accidental compliment. I nod. Useless in every other sense besides killing. His jaw flexes at that. Did he think they'd put a softie on their squad? I was recruited because there's darkness in me, and this is the only place I belong until I'm eventually killed too.
Damn, Bunny. So depressing. How many people have you executed? I heard Riot had a long list before you guys were wiped out. So, how many?
He asks, as we casually start making our way back to the base. I give him a confused look. Are we supposed to keep track of that? He blows out a breath and shakes his head.
Damn, you're a cold bitch.
Yeah, and it's better that you know it now. I look up at the treetops ahead. I think of Bradshaw's pained eyes when he spoke of his prior second. What was his name? I ask after a moment of silence. Achilles. What was his real name? Ian swallows but blinks past the hesitance of telling me.
Abram,
Ian says his name softly, with respect.
His code name was Achilles, but we often just called him Abram.
I raise my brow, but Ian isn't looking at me. He's focused on the pine tree thick hills ahead, in a trance of sorts. How long was he a part of the squad? I pry.
5 years, and you can't replace him. So try if you want, but you'll never be able to fill his boots, he says venomously.
I blink slowly, unbothered by his statement.
Already filled, Colt.
I keep my expression impassive. The rage that flashes across his gaze is quiet, but promises punishment. His animosity is hard to ignore, but I manage. What I can't seem to ignore so easily is the team bonding activity Aaron has planned out for our evening. I get paired up with Bradshaw. His black hair is slicked back with sweat from the afternoon exercises, and his jaw is set with anything but contentment at our matchup. I couldn't agree more. Aren't we forced together enough as it is?
Aaron has it out for us.
Both of our arms remain firmly crossed while the rest of our squadmates have amused smirks. Bradshaw's face is unreadable beneath his mask, but the creases of the black fabric don't look like a grin to me. Aaron stands before the six of us with his arms behind his back.
Malum, today we're working on team bonding,
he says bluntly, staring at me specifically.
You're tasked with reaching the destination marked on your map by nightfall. The path on your maps must be followed to the T, regardless of the obstacles. Both you and your partner need to arrive together, or you fail. Those who fail will be on night watch for the entire evening. A long groan escapes from the team. I'm assuming they've had to pull all-nighters as I have at some point in their training. It's as dreadful as it sounds. Come on, Sergeant. We all know it's going to be Bones and Bunny. Let's just skip the team bonding portion and make them do the watch tonight, Jefferson says breezily as he stretches his arms behind his head. Ian nods at his side, which earns him a glare from Aaron. If I hear any more complaining, I'll have everyone on watch tonight, Aaron threatens. His dark blue eyes shift back to me and soften. I've marked your maps. I'll see you soldiers before nightfall. God almighty, this could not have been a worse scenario for a worse pairing. Bradshaw's already rolled his eyes at me over 10 times, and I've withheld at least 40 swear words. I may have underestimated my patience.
Can't you climb faster?
Bradshaw snipes at me as I'm hauling myself over a 10-foot-tall ledge. My gloved fingertips sting, and the sweat running down my spine is making me more agitated by the second. Shut the fuck up, I retort between gnashed teeth. With one last pull, I finally manage to drag myself over the lip of the edge. I collapse against the ground and stare up at the sky. Pine trees crowd the space above. Then his face appears and I scowl. His eyes are impassive, brows pulled tightly together, and his frown is evident beneath the mask. I hate this man more than insects.
Get up, Bunny. We should be a click further than we are.
He fists my vest and yanks me up the remaining few feet, then sets me down hard. I smack his hand away and glare. He gives me a curious raise of his brow, nearing amusement. Don't touch me, asshole, I snap as I stand and stalk past him. I'm not the one who couldn't fit between the 2 fallen trees and had to walk an extra 5 minutes around the riverbank. He doesn't respond, but I can feel his loathing gaze boring into the back of my head. I pull out the map Aaron marked for us and go over the details once more. We already passed through the meadow and river. We still have at least 5 clicks before we reach the marked position, and most of it is up this fucking mountainside. I shove the map back into my vest pocket and take a deep breath to recenter myself. What would Jenkins say to me right now? I focus on the swaying pine boughs ahead as birds land on the thinner branches and chatter without concern for the rest of the world. Jenkins would probably tell me that if I can't conquer my emotions, then I need to empty my mind. Let the stress and heavy things go. I can almost hear his laugh against the shell of my ear, his labored breathing when he carried fallen comrades through mud.
When you let go of your thoughts, you can do anything, Gallows.
I shut my eyes, and even his scent still lingers around me. A cold breeze in a storm. Snapped branches and sap. A chill shudders across my spine and I turn, finding Bradshaw's cold, icy eyes set on me. Then dread grows in my chest. There is nothing I wouldn't give to have Jenkins back. To have him behind me, tracing the lines of my face with his gaze. Cherishing every piece of my soul like no one ever has before. He saw darkness in me and held out a hand to lead me further into the shadows.
What's wrong?
Bradshaw asks, surprisingly not as sharp as he usually speaks to me. I come to a halt and stare at him for a moment. He observes me in equal silence, awaiting my response. Sometimes I still hear them. Sometimes. I think if I turn around, they'll still be here.
My lips are chapped, and the words taste bitter. Bradshaw's eyes dull with understanding. He takes a step closer to me before lifting his hand to my face. I flinch at the near contact of his palm against my skin, but he stops himself. A flash of horror flickers through his eyes as he seems to realize that he was about to comfort me. He withdraws his hand and clears his throat.
Sometimes I dream of them, he confides, turning his face away from mine.
He takes the lead, and I follow behind.
Other times I see them in strangers. Small things. The way a smile grows, or a quirk I thought was only unique to them.
I consider his words before muttering. Is that why you're so angry when you look at me? He walks for a few moments in silence before curtly nodding.
You have traits that should only belong to one person.
His voice is callous and raw. Who have I stolen from you? Please don't let it be his last second. When he doesn't respond, I swallow the knot in my throat and mutter, Abram? He stops like a rock thrown in mud and turns on his heels, fury racing through him.
Don't say his name. You never knew him.
His shoulders stiffen. I can see it in his eyes. He loved Abram as much as I did Jenkins. The pain reflected in his eyes is a mirror of my own misery. I can't help how I am, Bradshaw. As you said, I didn't know him. The similarities you see are only in your head. He doesn't look at all satisfied with my words. I just want to get along. I extend my hand out to him, hopeful that he'll take it. Bradshaw's jaw muscles feather, and he smacks my hand down.
Let's get moving, bunny.
Asshole. I let my mind drift as I watch Bradshaw's frame navigate the uneven terrain. The rocks and trees prove to be difficult, and the thick underbrush is relentless. I'm relieved our boots can handle any kind of conditions. That relief is short-lived when we come upon the last obstacle. Another 10-foot sheer-faced cliffside. My heart drops. There's no chance of climbing this one. At least the last cliff had rocks to use as leverage. This one is made of flat-faced stones that jut up from the earth. Bradshaw and I share a look. One of us will have to lift the other. God damn it.
I'll have to go up first.
Bradshaw smooths his hand over the back of his neck as he inspects the cliff.
You can't pull my body weight up, he says,
then looks down at me like he's making a point. I scowl. I can pull you up. He shakes his head.
I'm going first.
His arms are crossed and his lips are flat with finality. There's no sense in arguing it, I guess. With an exasperated breath, I lean down and cup both hands together. Bradshaw gets a few steps of a head start before I lever him up. He grips the edge of the cliff and maneuvers himself over the side. I stare up at the ledge, waiting for him to peer down at me and help me up, but his head doesn't appear. What are you doing up there? I shout. His masked face appears over the edge, and when he doesn't lean down to help me up, an unsettling feeling fills my chest. You're wasting time! Come on, help me up! I back up and run at the cliffside, jumping and kicking off the wall while reaching. Bradshaw doesn't offer me his hand. I fall to the ground, the force knocking the breath from my lungs. I stare up at him in disbelief. You've got to be fucking kidding me. His mask pulls up where his smile is growing.
Bye-bye, bunny.
You realize we'll both lose this bonding exercise and be forced to stay up all night, right? I say as vehemently as I can. Emotions grip at my chest,
It's really fucking hard to disregard the things I've gone through in the last 2 days. He lifts his shoulders, letting them fall as he waves like an asshole.
I'll just tell them you couldn't make it over the hill. You'd be a hindrance in the field. Just give up.
My jaw trembles and my fingers curl into the dirt. I want to scream. Maybe I can be assigned to the Hades squad. Anyone else's second other than this monster's. But this is the only chance I have to avenge Jenkins. I watch as the top of Bradshaw's head disappears and his steps grow distant. Aaron's going to think I'm not good enough if I'm stuck behind this obstacle. He'll believe his brother no matter what I say. I look to the sky, the sun beginning its descent toward the distant mountains. There's still time. God damn it, I whisper as I push myself up to my feet. After assessing the cliff, I come to the conclusion that there's no way I can clear it myself. The rock face is too sheer. Okay, what else can I use? I look around and see that the cliff extends far to each side. No good. I inspect the trees lingering nearby. One pine tree is larger than the rest. It has a thick trunk, and the first branch is long and wide, stretching out over the edge of the cliff. That's my only option. It takes a few tries of losing my grip around the tree and falling on my ass, but I finally reach the branch and wrap my body around it. I'm going to wring Bradshaw's fucking neck when I get my hands on him. Thoughts of harming him fuel my hate fire as I shimmy across the prickly branch. I ignore the splinters embedding in my thighs. It takes a great deal of effort to not look down. I should cut off his dick, break his lovely nose. What I would do to make him cry. A smug, self-indulgent grin spreads over my lips at those diabolical thoughts. He deserves so much worse. I finally reach the end of the branch and dare a glance down. The bough doesn't quite reach as far over the ledge as I was hoping it would. I'll have to swing. Shit. I'm easily 20 feet up, and a fall from this height would probably break something. I draw in a deep, centering breath and slowly lower myself, clinging to the branch with trembling hands. Pumping my legs at the same time, I swing my body until there's enough momentum to get myself over the ledge. I hold my breath as I let go. Then I'm falling like a downed bird. I extend my arms in case my feet don't catch the edge. The soles of my boots clip the gravel, and for a brief, stupid moment, I think I've done it. Then the earth gives out beneath me, and my knees slam against the hardscape. A grunt escapes my throat as my chest hits the ground. I scramble to grip anything before sliding off the side and somehow manage to dig my fingertips into the dirt. I wriggle myself up onto the plateau and splay out on my back. My heart hammers against my chest, and all I can think of is beating the shit out of Bradshaw. I fucking did it. A laugh bubbles up from my chest, and I lie here for several minutes until the shaking in my limbs ceases. I stand up and brush off my pants, wincing at the sting from my knees hitting the cliffside. Red smudges form beneath my uniform, but it's mostly hidden by the black color of the fabric, so I choose to ignore it until I can bandage it up later. The sun is moving fast, casting its fading colors across the sky like orange strokes of paint. I run the remaining miles and finally catch up to Bradshaw by the time we're coming up to the marked point. His cocky stride is relaxed, making me angrier that he's without a care in the world. I fist a rock the size of my palm, and a wicked smile staves off the pain throbbing through my body as I get ready to deck him with it. "Hey, asshole!" I shout as I baseball pitch the rock at him. He turns, clearly startled. The rock strikes his helmet and tilts his head. I burst into laughter before adding, "Fuck you!"
Bradshaw stares at me hollowly, like something's been unplugged from his brain and an itch has formed.
You fucking brat.
My teeth burn with hatred, but I'm still laughing. Oh, great comeback. Are you five? He charges at me without warning or any sound. My instincts flare into a sharp scream. I dart to the side and sprint as fast as I can to evade him. His hands reach out and he snags one of my thigh pockets. I turn and land a backhanded punch to the side of his face. He grunts, but doesn't let me go. He grips my braid and pulls my head back. We fall to the dirt together, wrestling like our lives depend on it.
You make me sick.
His voice drips with loathing. He pins my arm behind my back, and I already know he's going to win this fight. My breath is too uneven, and he has me pinned like an animal. I hold in the cry that swells in my throat. He twists my wrist and sets his knee on it. My face is planted against the earth, and his weight spreads agonizingly over my spine. You're the only repulsive thing here, I say as scathingly as I can. He mulls that over.
I'm not asking nicely again, Bunny. I want you off the squad. Fucking quit.
There's nothing more I want than that too, buddy. I try to wriggle free, but he only firms his grip on my wrist, forcing a cry from my lips.
You'll never have a place here with us. The only good riot soldier is a dead one, and I can make arrangement for that bun. Fucking try me.
My jaw trembles, and my willpower to fight diminishes on a shuddering breath. Spit and blood bubble on the ground around my cheek. He settles his hips over my torso as my shoulders go lax and loosens his hold on my wrist. Bradshaw leans forward until his hot mass coats the shell of my ear.
If I really wanted to kill you, my blade would be buried in your back right now. You can't compete in close combat. You can't protect yourself. What if you were fighting an enemy soldier and they realized you're pretty and took you back to their base? You know what happens then?
My gut twists. Of course I know. Everyone knows.
Just leave. None of us want you here.
Because I'm from Riot? I bite out, glaring up at him with venom in my eyes.
Because I don't trust you. I will never trust you.
He stares down at me with disdain, and once he's sure I get the message, he finally relents. He lets me go and pushes himself up, leaving me in the dirt as he walks ahead. I remain in the dust, breathing hard, unmoving, and thinking of anything more tragic than the predicament I've found myself in.
Soldiers don't cry.
Jenkins's voice hums in my memory. His warm hands had spread over my shoulders.
If you give up, you die.
Tears silently stream over the bridge of my nose. The sky grows dark as the sun sets. Footsteps approach, but I can't find the will to sit up.
No.
Aaron's voice is gentle and sympathetic as he kneels beside me. Dread sifts through me, and my head aches. I force myself up. Dirt and blood cling to my skin and smears as I drag my sleeve across my face. His eyes soften, and he raises his hand to my cheek, rubbing his thumb over the remaining grains turned red from my bloody lip.
Long day.
I give him a dry, callous laugh. You could say that. Aaron shifts to sit beside me, lowering to my level. He's so beautiful and lovely. His face is untouched by scars the way Bradshaw's is. Yet with his unmarked beauty, it lacks the characteristics and journey that his brothers hold.
I hate to tell you this, but you two are on the night watch, Aaron says with a bit of sarcasm to lighten the mood. Yeah, I figured. Do you want me to stay up with you guys? I know he's been difficult.
That's an understatement. Aaron chuckles.
I don't think he hates you as much as he lets on. He's been reluctant to have anyone replace Abram, but none of them want.
He cuts himself off. A riot soldier? I finish it for him, staring out into the dark woods. He sighs and nods.
Yeah.
I raise a brow and ask, is that why the Malum squad hasn't been sent out on a mission for so long? He nods, his frown creasing his perfect face.
Partly. But the main reason for the sudden push to get us back out there is because this mission is very, very important. Which is why...
He pauses again and meets my gaze. God, his kindness is getting annoying because he's making me finish his sentences.
I was assigned, he nods.
I'm not giving up.
My mouth is dry.
There's no way I'm not going on this mission. It's the only chance I have to get justice for my squad. For Jenkins. Aaron's forlorn expression deepens.
I truly believe it's because he doesn't want what happened to Abram to happen to you. Not just because you're from a bad squad.
A bad squad? My chest deflates. I shake my head and sigh.
Yeah, sure.
He lets the quiet air remain between us, then mutters,
shall we get going?
I follow him to the Humvee waiting at the checkpoint and endure the glares the rest of the squad throw at me on the drive back to the base and over dinner. I don't bother bandaging or looking at my injured knees. The pain is a dull throb, but at least it gives me something to focus on other than the disdain surrounding me. 8. Nell. Bradshaw holds his assault rifle loosely as we stand watch. My eyes are already heavy, but we're only a few hours in. It's darker with the cloud cover tonight. Even the forest creatures are quiet under the grimness of it. He hasn't said a word since our scuffle earlier. I shut my eyes for a moment. It's better this way. I'd rather be detached in case something happens on a real mission. I tried to be friendly with him, but he wants nothing to do with me.
I think I heard something,
Bradshaw whispers. The sound of his voice sends chills down my spine. My eyes snap open and I'm instantly alert. But I don't hear anything.
Where?
I say back in a hushed tone. He nods straight ahead and I take the lead, walking slowly and looking in every direction for any sign of danger. I stop once I get 20 feet from our post.
I don't see anyone. It's clear.
A foot plants squarely on the center of my back and I'm forced to the ground. I break the fall with my forearms, but pain shoots through my body regardless. My thoughts whirl. I look up and find Bradshaw standing above me, Jefferson and Pete on either side of him. Horror sinks deep into my chest.
What the fuck are you doing?
I snarl as I try to get up, giving them a chance to say this is a joke and not what I think it is. The second I'm on my knees, Bradshaw shoves my shoulders back and I'm flat on the ground again. Only this time he straddles me, pinning my torso and arms to the ground with his body weight. I wriggle desperately beneath him. Fear threads through my bones, increasing my breaths, making them strangled and raspy.
Two assaults in one day? You're a fucking productive psychopath,
I shout viciously before spitting in his face. My heart beats rapidly against my ribs, and the only thing I can see are Bradshaw's harrowing pale blue eyes. He ignores me, but Jefferson and Pete share a mildly concerned look like they aren't completely on board with whatever he's talked them into doing.
I try to focus on the anger. Fear makes you irrational. At least anger is a bit more grounding. I take a deep breath and calm myself. He hasn't done anything yet. Maybe he won't do anything. They're just trying to scare me. Bradshaw leans forward and draws his K-bar. A real one. It's a black military-grade knife meant for plunging into other human beings' chests. The blood drains from my face.
Are you going to quit?
Bradshaw asks, with no remorse in his voice. It's clear he isn't playing a prank, but I don't let my resolve falter. Rage returns, fueling my words. At this point, it's fucking personal. No! Now get the fuck off of me, I demand. If he's fazed by my words, he doesn't show it. Jefferson kneels beside my head, and Pete holds my ankles down firmly. Terror spills into my chest, and I shriek, "What are you?" Jefferson's hands come down over my mouth, muffling any sound from escaping my lips. Adrenaline rushes through me, and I thrash against them, hard. I fight for my life, for my next breath. They're going to kill me? All because I won't quit? What the hell is wrong with them? My attempt to escape is useless. They have me pinned like a lamb for slaughter. Bradshaw brings his knife back up, sliding the flat side of it down over the softness of my stomach, searing the cold steel across my skin. I try bucking him off and crying for help, kicking my feet desperately. Then cold air meets my sternum and it freezes every fighting limb I have. The very blood in my veins, too. My breath is rapid. Feral. Tears spill down the sides of my face as Bradshaw unzips my vest. He drags the knife down my shirt, cutting through the fabric in my sports bra with ease, exposing my breasts to the chilly night air. My nipples harden, and horror settles deep into my bones. I attempt to bite into Jefferson's hand, but his other one keeps my jaw shut tight. A muffled scream grows in my throat, and I try once more to thrash as hard as I can. All their eyes are on my bare nipples. Shame floods me, and I want to beat each one of them senseless. Why are they doing this? This is worse than anything Riot ever did. Tears make my vision blurry, and my energy fades quickly. My mind is shutting off and going into survival mode. I lie still and let my body go limp. My labored breathing is the only sound that rolls through the dark. Bradshaw stares down at me with empty eyes. He doesn't care what he's doing to me or the impact this will have on my mental state. I keep my eyes locked with his, refusing to let go of the one thing I have left. My death glare. He chuckles, brows pinching together as if he pities me.
Still fighting? Damn, you are a tough one.
Bradshaw brings the edge of his dagger to my right side, to the sensitive flesh just under my breast. He pushes the sharp tip in, and I scream out against Jefferson's sweaty palm. The pain is a rush to my system, but more than the pain, I feel Bradshaw's tender hand squeezing my ribs to steady himself. His crotch over mine is too hot, and suddenly the fear that laced my blood has turned into arousal. This is so fucked up. My scream turns into a moan, and Bradshaw's eyes catch mine, not missing a single detail of how my body responds to him and the pain. God, I hope the other two are too aloof to notice. I shouldn't be turned on by this. No, I'm not turned on by this. I bite my lower lip to quell the next rising moan. Jefferson jolts and says,
Bones, you said we were just going to scare her. This is too far.
He looks uncertainly from Bradshaw to Pete. Pete's grip on my ankles falter.
You're hurting her!
His voice sounds genuinely shocked and worried. Thank God for them not hearing the pleasure in my moans.
Bradshaw ignores them both, keeping his devilish eyes on me, and glides the blade in a crescent motion, agonizingly slow, following the shape of my breast. I writhe and buck my hips. The pain gives me a high, while his lustful eyes, gripping hands, and swelling crotch set my nerves ablaze. He dips his head down, pulls his mask up only enough to bare his lips, and takes my nipple between his teeth before bringing his lips down on my flesh and pressing one lonesome kiss there. He stops the incision at the tip of my sternum. Tears fall down the sides of my temples from the pain and shame, but mostly from the cruelty of all three of them. Hot blood warms my skin as it races down my side and pools in the dirt. Jefferson releases my mouth and shoves Bradshaw off me. God damn it! Jefferson curses under his breath as he folds the vest back over my chest carefully to cover me up. His hands are trembling. He lifts me up quickly in his arms as if I weigh nothing and rushes me back to the base. As he carries my limp, tired body, I can only stare behind him at Bradshaw, who still watches me like an unfinished meal. I bet he's smiling underneath that mask of his. I bet he thinks he broke me.
9. Bradshaw. What the fuck is wrong with you? Pete shoves me back against a tree and I let him. I'm still thinking about all the blood that spilled from her supple flesh a moment ago. The fire that lit her eyes and the way her thighs were rubbing together beneath me, trying so desperately to give herself a bit of relief. Of course she liked that. Fuck. She's messing with my head. I drag my hand over my jaw and rub the soft fabric of my mask against my lips. I watch as Jefferson races hell at the base. A flash of guilt rolls through me. I should have told him I was going to escalate things, but I didn't even know what I was going to do until it was already happening. When she stared at me with all of that hatred burning in her eyes, I wanted to carve it out of her myself, and that's exactly what I did. Aaron is already stomping over here and looks livid. Pete huffs and curses as he leaves, probably to go check on our little bunny. It was just a small cut. I want to laugh at the dramatics my comrades are raising over it. Over a riot soldier, no less. Did they not see her enjoying it as I had? I think of how it may have looked from a different perspective. Maybe I did go a bit too far. But the more she reacted to my touch, the more I wanted to see. Aaron reaches me, and before he says anything, he strikes me across the face with his fist. It knocks the breath out of me. He's never struck me before. Ever. I look back at him, and his eyes are filled with rage over something that isn't even his. My eyes dull, and I regard him with little interest. Bradshaw, what were you fucking thinking? His brows are pulled tightly in anguish. I know he's concerned about my mind. I've always known it. Sometimes I wonder if it's why we don't mind staying on the dark forces. Here, I can let out the darkness inside. I think he's known longer than I have, but I know about his inner monster, too. You'll be punished for this. You know General Nolan has a liking for her. He shakes his head and grits his teeth. A pang of sorrow threads through my cold, dead heart. My brother is the only thing I have left in this life, and I'm all he has too. But the sooner he realizes I'm going to die young, the better. It's a miracle I've made it this long, given the line of work we're in. My thoughts trail off to Abram. It should have been me. The coldness he left behind in my chest is like an infection that only continues to spread. I want to be in the ground and send him back in my place. It's where I should be. Aaron is talking and lecturing me, but I don't hear him. I look past him and stare at Bunny from afar. My comrades are swarmed around her, bandaging her side and apologizing relentlessly. My eyes narrow and my teeth grind together. She's bad. But the thought doesn't carry to my chest with rage like it did a day ago. And that pisses me off. If I have to break her hands to get her to quit, I will. Bunny looks over at me, concern placed safely in those bright, honey-toned eyes for me. I don't see the resolve to quit burning there like I hoped I would. Instead, there's only fury and more willpower than there was before. More dark lust laying siege to those plump lips as she draws her tongue over them. No wonder her prior sergeant fell in love with her. He saw a little shadow and took it for himself. I could never love a riot. My fists clench at my sides. Why did it have to be her? Why did the only riot survivor have to be her? Her glare gives me an unwanted throb deep in my core, one that I refuse to look into and investigate properly. I let my shoulders fall in a shameful slack and return my gaze to Aaron. He knows I didn't hear a word of what he said and throws his hands in the air with exasperation. She can't stay, I say with finality. Aaron's face is impassive at first, then his features soften with sympathy as he must see the pain in my eyes. He has always found things within me, even things I cannot see myself. I wonder if he sees how fucking tired I am. That I feel. She's not Abram. We need her, he states. I shake my head. No, she's not. And she'll go worse than he did. She doesn't care if she dies or not. She's trained to be a suicidal death machine. Aaron's eyes widen. You make it sound like you care. He cuts himself off and lowers his head, shaking it. Watch it, I growl, shoving his shoulders back. Easy. I'm already having a shit night thanks to you. He drags his hand down his face. His stubble has grown in since being out in the field. It makes him look 5 years older than me, but maybe it's the stress. So what if she dies on the mission? We only have one objective, and it's not getting her home. Stop fucking with the plan. He pats my shoulder and my eyes flick back to her. I picture her dying, and it's a replay of Abram. Memories of hot blood and sickening cries fall over me like a low tide, dragging me into the depths of my despair. This time, though, instead of Abram's trembling cold hands reaching for the light, I see hers. My voice is callous as I firm my decision. I'll make her leave.
10. Nell. Pete and Jefferson sit defeated as they take the night watch. Aaron is making them sit out there as our replacements all night for their part in the ambush. A small reprieve that I'm immensely grateful for. Sergeant, there's no need to report the incident. I'm sure they were only trying to haze me as a sort of cruel introduction to the squad. I lie, and it tastes like acid. But the revenge I have playing on repeat in my head promises a reward. Aaron gives me a look that says he doesn't buy it for 1 second. We both know what Bradshaw was trying to do. What he did do.
Are you sure?
Aaron asks anyway. I nod and wince as Ian finishes up wrapping the medical tape around my ribs. I was just spooked by it. I'm mentally sound and can carry out the remainder of the training, Sergeant. Ian lifts his head and stares uncertainly at Aaron, but neither of them comment on it. Aaron only nods and firms his lips.
Okay, well, get some sleep. Are you okay with sleeping beside Bones tonight?
Of course I'm not. He hurt me, but he also awakened something really dark and disturbed inside of me. I swallow the thoughts. You don't need to worry about me, Sarge. Aaron observes me for a moment, and then nods before retreating to the tent. It would be a miracle if anyone gets a wink of sleep tonight.
I finally have a moment to myself and take a long breath, staring down at my black tactical gloves covered in blood. Great. There's only one spare shirt each of us were able to bring, so I change out of the ruined one and slip into a fresh shirt. My eyes drift over to Bradshaw. He's already back at our post, lying on his side as he always is. The bushes around our sleeping bags make a perfect cave, keeping it relatively warm against the mountain's chilly air. Rage filters through me, growing as it sinks further into my chest. He isn't going to be punished like the other two? Probably not. He's Aaron's precious twin. I don't think I've ever wanted to hurt anyone as much as I do him. I could cut him back. He wants to scare me? I'll make him piss his pants. I'll make him face his own mortality. Dark thoughts seethe in my head as I settle beside him, wincing at the pain in my side. It's going to scar, and I'll think of his stupid, gorgeous face every time I see it. For a second, I think about him pulling up his mask and the sensation of his lips on my nipple. It sends a shudder down my spine. Stop thinking about it. My knees throb and remind me they've been unattended to. But I'm so tired they'll just have to wait until morning. A small whimper escapes my lips as I finally let my back hit the ground. Bradshaw tenses beside me at the sound. I don't bother speaking to him. I'm too tired and there's nothing I can do about it. He wants me to quit. I'll show him that I won't. I'll show them all. Silence falls around our base once more, and as the threads of sleep start to take me, his low whisper stirs me awake.
You okay?
What the fuck? No. No, I'm not okay. I'm anything but okay. I don't respond, feigning that I'm asleep. There's no reality where I can deal with him right now. I'm so close to unsheathing my blade and burying it in his chest. He shifts to face me. His breath is hushed, but I feel it roll over my skin like a warm mist. I open my eyes enough to see his silhouette. It's dark, and he's watching me. The black cloth mask covers most of his face, but it can't hide the anguish in his eyes as he studies my features. Is this how he stares at me when I'm not looking? There's so much pain there, more than any person should have to carry. I know that weight. His eyes lower to my side where he lets the sharpness of his blade cut my flesh. Bradshaw lifts his hand and it takes everything I have to keep myself from flinching away from him. He lowers his fingers gently to my side, coasting his fingers softly against the wound beneath the fabric. It stings, even with the delicate touch. My brows pull together and my lips part with a sharp breath. His fingertips are hot. Heat and pain coil between my thighs. His eyes lift to my face and I open mine so he knows I've woken. He doesn't pull his hand away from my side and he doesn't look away. Those pale eyes bore into my soul. What is he searching for? I take a shallow breath as uncertainty races through me. I can't get a read on him. My gaze lowers to his lips before I decide to close my eyes again. He doesn't move for a while after that. But instead of rolling back to his side, he lies beside me, with the weight of his hand over my ribs, the warmth from his chest seeping into me. The ebb of pain slows, and the heat from his hand reminds me that Bradshaw, as cold and uncaring as he does indeed have a sliver of a heart.
Bunny, keep your hands low. You're smaller than your opponent, so use their height against them, Aaron shouts, bored.
Ian shares a smug laugh with Harrison as I pick myself up from the ground.
I know,
I hiss back, ready to call it a day, but only Aaron gets to tell us when we're done. My ribs still hurt, but I'm not about to let it hold me back. The sparring circle is a flat portion of meadow we discovered during the first week. Aaron makes us come out here and beat each other up every morning before the sun rises. My eyes connect with Bradshaw's. His hair is wet and pushed back. He crosses his arms as he watches me spar with Jefferson. The corner of Bradshaw's mask lifts in a nasty smirk, and rage courses through me 10 times more. He's been far more tame since the night he assaulted me, though I'm not sure how long that will last. Part of me believes it's only because Aaron brought down the hammer on his brother. It's already been 2 weeks of trials and training, long night watches and uncomfortable meals around a campfire. And somehow, I've managed to get only a few scalding glares from Bradshaw. Our conversations are 1 to 4 words max, but we aren't fighting like we were, so yay. My reluctance to speak with him probably helps. He thinks this is over, that he's won. He thinks that I'll submit to him just because he caught me off guard. Let him think that.
Come on, Bunny. You're making me feel bad about this, Jefferson says in a sarcastic manner.
Fuck you!
I spit blood to my side, dirt instantly clinging to it. Jefferson reaches his hand out and motions for me to come at him. His light brown hair is wet with sweat and clings to his forehead. I told myself I'd spar easy with them. Let them think they have the upper hand before really letting them have it. But to hell with that. I unsheathe my knife and charge at him head on. His eyes flicker with my sudden boldness. He's too bulky to react to my swift movements. I easily duck and evade his attempt to land a blow on my chest. My leg sweeps beneath him and he lands flat on his back. He chokes out a strangled gasp from the impact. Without hesitation, I straddle his stomach, deck him across the jaw, and hold the sharp side of my blade against his stubble-covered neck. Jefferson's brown eyes grow wide and he blanches. I sneer at him and lean down close, whispering sweetly, "Oh, Jobs, you're making me feel bad about this." His nostrils flare, and he opens his mouth to spout some dumb shit I don't care to hear. I increase the pressure of my knife against his flesh until blood bubbles up and he stills.
That's enough, Bunny. Colt, you're next,
Aaron orders with a monotone voice. But I don't miss the glint in his eyes as he looks up at me. A fire that urges me on. Good job, I can practically hear him say. Ian steps into the sparring ring and I hand his ass to him. Same with Harrison and Pete, too. I can see it in their cold stares that they know I've been playing softball with them so far, hiding my true attributes.
Leave it to a riot to be a fucking snake,
Pete says loud enough for me to hear. He's taking it harder than the rest for some reason. Poor loser.
Leave it to a Malum to cry about it,
I snap back. Pete's pupils dilate and his breath turns sharp as he stomps toward me like he can really do something about it. I ready myself, prepared to dislocate his shoulder this time if I have to. But, of course, Bradshaw feels the need to step in. Pete halts immediately, pissing me off more that their loyalty to him is so strong.
You think you're the toughest soldier out there, don't you?
Bradshaw says with a husky, angry voice that makes the hairs on the back of my neck rise. Aaron glares at him.
Bones, you aren't to participate in sparring. It wouldn't be fair,
he warns. Bradshaw ignores his brother and walks steadily toward me, unzipping his outer jacket so he's just in his protective vest. It's the first time I've seen his bare arms in daylight, and God almighty, is he a fucking vision.
His muscles are defined and his veins protrude as he grips his knife. His tight black tactical pants hang low on his hips and my eyes drift there momentarily. He is lethal and every instinct inside my body thrums on high alert. I think he really wants to kill me.
Bones!
Aaron warns once more to no avail.
I'm going to make you wish you had quit the moment you got here.
Bradshaw grins beneath his mask, and it sends chills down my spine. Terrible things are playing behind his cold eyes. I don't bother responding to him. Instead, I grip my knife harder and lower into a fighting stance. Bradshaw is the only one who I haven't observed sparring, which I'm assuming is to protect us, but to also keep his technique secret. I'm not about to charge at him like I did Jefferson. The four of our squad mates cheer for him, telling him to break my arm and make me cry. My cheeks burn, but I force myself to keep emotions out of it. If he fights anything like Jenkins, I'm fucked. Bradshaw doesn't let me wonder for long. He closes the distance between us with four long strides, faster than I could have predicted. My instincts kick in. My mind can't keep up with his strikes, but my reflexes can. He shoots a punch at my throat, and I barely jerk back in time to dodge it. His smile is sinister beneath his mask, and it only makes his eyes more ferocious. He blocks my counterstrike, and I dodge his cheap shot to my kidney. I can tell he's having fun with this. Bradshaw comes at me directly, and I fall for his trick, raising my arms to deflect a frontal assault. He tips to the right and hits me in the spleen. I choke, faltering in pain, and he takes advantage of my slip-up. His boot hooks mine and I crash to the ground. My world spins for a second and I choke on the breaths I can't seem to take. He has the audacity to laugh as he comes down on me, but I'm ready for it. I twist my ankle around his and roll us to the side. He stops us with his knee and pins my arm to the ground.
That was a clever trick, he says in a low voice,
pressing his cheek against mine as he kicks my legs apart and settles his knee between my thighs.
Unfortunately, I've seen it before.
My cheeks flush, and I desperately rack my brain for the technique to get out of this hold. Nothing. My mind is blank. The only thing I can focus on is the heat of his bare skin against mine, and the pressure of his leg at my center. The others laugh, and Bradshaw increases the weight on my spine and arm as he twists it back. I groan in pain and gnash my teeth together.
Give up. I've bested you, Bun.
No! I try to spin, but it only puts more strain on my already throbbing arm.
Such a stupid...
He only gets a gasp out before I buck my hips up into his crotch, hard. He arches forward and coughs as I roll beneath him and plant my foot on his chest, kicking him back with all my strength. Bradshaw falls back and props up on his elbows, ready to come for me again. But I'm already tackling him back down to the dirt. I punch him in his perfect face and smile through the grit and blood that blooms in my mouth as he lands one against my cheek, too. All I see is red as we relentlessly punch the shit out of each other. Hands are wrapping around my arms and pulling me off Bradshaw before I can register what's happening.
Jesus, will you two fucking knock it off?
Aaron shoves me back and puts his palm on Bradshaw's chest when he tries to come back at me. His brow has a fresh cut and his mask is wet with blood. I sneer at him and he lunges once more. I'm glad Aaron is between us. I'm not sure what we'd do to each other if he wasn't. Bradshaw stares at me like I'm a wild animal that needs to be put down.
I'm sick of you not obeying orders,
Aaron says quieter, getting in Bradshaw's face. The two of them share an uncomfortable silence before Bradshaw lets his shoulders roll back, and he walks back toward base alone. He disappears behind the pine trees. And I can breathe again. I seethe all night as I scrub the blood from beneath my nails. Devils do bleed. 11. Nell. Aaron divides us into three groups for the trial raid. We only have 3 days left in training to both infiltrate the enemy base and rescue the hostages. Once we do that, we need to bring them back to the extraction point. That alone is a one-day trip on foot, depending on whether the hostages are injured. If they are, it might be longer. It's hard to believe we're already in the final week. It's felt much, much longer than 3 weeks. I'm stationed on a short cliffside that dips into a meadow, close enough that I can get a kill shot confidently. If I can't protect them today on the mock extraction, then I don't deserve to be on their squad. It's easy to spot the six of them. Bradshaw is the only one on his own. He works alone, with only his sniper counterpart as his backup. Those were his demands for a new partner. I'm guessing he wanted to work with someone specializing in long distance after Abram's death. Though I'm sure Aaron took his demands with a grain of salt, considering I specialize in close combat, too. We haven't received the real mission details yet, but what I've picked up through eavesdropping on Aaron, I know that it's going to be remote with little to no vantage points. I doubt I'll be using my sniper as much as my handgun and K-bar. I watch as Bradshaw moves like a shadow born from the darkness itself, unsheathing his false blade marked with red. His broad shoulders flex as he readies his knife. The others surround the small building we track the hostile squad to and lie in wait for Bradshaw to take out as many of the exterior guards as possible. My finger curls slowly around the trigger, and I take a deep breath as Bradshaw sneaks up behind the first soldier and draws his blade over their throat. The soldier falls silently, and Bradshaw guides their limp body gently to the ground to avoid any sound. I raise a brow at the acting on the hostile team's part. I've only seen LARPers take a fake mission this seriously. Bradshaw doesn't waste a second. He's already moving again, slowly creeping up to the next one. Watching him work so effortlessly sends a disturbing throb through my body. He's not actually killing them, but it's evident that he's done so many times before. A devil in human skin. Watching him move so fluidly gives me an itch I've been trying to ignore for weeks. Something inside of me yearns for him. My blood burns through my veins. A cruel grin pulls at my lips as the hostiles alert to Bradshaw's presence and start flooding from the building. Ian, Harrison, and Aaron flank from the left, while Jefferson and Pete come in on the right. They won't make it to Bradshaw before he's outnumbered. I take a deep breath and hold it as I pull the trigger. The sniper rifle bucks against my shoulder with recoil, but I hold it steady. A red cloud of dust explodes on a soldier's temple. I wince, hoping their helmet took the brunt of the hit. These new practice guns sure pack a punch. I reload without blinking and hit the next target, who's about to shoot Pete in the chest. Reload. A flash of a scope makes itself known behind a wall of trees and underbrush. My body is rolling to the side before I can consciously process it. A false bullet hits the rock I just had my back against. Red powder coats the stone face and the smoke plumes before being carried by the wind. Jesus. I roll back quickly and locate the marksman. He's about to shoot again, but I'm faster. My bullet hits his stomach and he goes down. Reload. Fuck. Where's Bradshaw? My eyes trace over the battlefield 3 times, but I don't see him. He must be inside getting the hostages. I shoot 3 more men before Bradshaw comes out of the building with 2 limping hostages on his shoulders. Pete and Ian help him while Aaron rushes inside to get the rest of them out. I take a relaxing breath. So far, so good. If this is as hard as it gets, then I've definitely secured my spot on the team. If only it were this easy to earn their respect and trust. All their backs are turned, having cleared the building, and they're making their way back to the base. From my location, I have clear sight of them the entire way. Looks like we can call it a day. A man comes running out of the building with a dummy grenade. If the red powder gets on my squad, we fail the mock mission. It's easy to pull the trigger, second to breathing for me. The red plume that breaks on the man's helmet draws all their attention, and every single one of them looks utterly shocked. A wry smile pulls at my lips, but it quickly fades when I see that Bradshaw doesn't look impressed. He's the only one that seems displeased with the results. Of course he isn't impressed. What will it fucking take? I want to land a bullet in his chest as payback, but all that will earn me is an all-night watch. I follow them with my scope the entire way back. There are a few soldiers hidden in the trees, and I pick them off easily before my squad is even walking through the area. I finally lower my eye from the scope as I get back to base, and I let my forehead hit the ground with exhaustion. I did it.
If I were an enemy, you would have been dead 10 minutes ago.
My eyes widen and I whirl, pushing up to my knees as adrenaline spikes in my chest. I wince at the pain across my ribs and knees. Bones? What the fuck? You're supposed to be back at base. When did you—
Shut up,
he says harshly. The air gets stuck in my lungs and my rage flares instantly. I stand and shove his chest hard. He isn't even fazed by it. His pale blue eyes only narrow at me with disdain. What do you want? I say with venom, unsheathing my sharp, very real knife. He looks down at it like it's a toy, as if he doesn't think I'll actually use it.
I want you to quit, Bunny.
His voice is cold, and there's something lethal about his demeanor today. He wouldn't try something again, would he? The blood drains from my face at that thought. Because unlike our prior fights, today we're completely alone and our squad is far out of earshot. I told you I'm not going to. Do you have any idea how many times I saved all your asses today? I shove him again, but he doesn't back up. Instead, he grips my forearm tight enough that it stings. His eyes don't show any emotion as he pulls me closer. His cloth mask is the only barrier between our lips as he whispers,
Nell.
My name sounds more like a plea than a threat. More like Jenkins's voice than Bradshaw's.
I'm not letting you join our squad. You either quit, or I'll make you.
I tear my arm from his grip and turn my back to him so he won't see the tears brimming in my eyes. This mock mission has been draining, and I don't have much mental endurance left. Focus on something else. I start unloading my sniper rifle and packing the gear up. There's no talking to this guy. No middle ground. He's fucking insane. His low sigh is the only sound he gives before wrapping his hands around my neck. It instantly triggers my fight-or-flight response, and my elbow flies down into his ribs. He doesn't expect it, and we fall to the ground together. His grip loosens instinctively, and I take the chance to slip out of his hold. I grab a fistful of dirt and throw it in his face. He groans and shuts his eyes, but his hand reaches for me faster than I can crawl. His grip on my ankle burns as he digs his fingertips into my flesh. A shriek rises from my throat as he pulls me toward him. He's scrambling to get me pinned under him. My mind flashes back to the sparring match, and I refuse to be in that situation again.